hello everybody on my behalf as well. As I said, my name is Karoliina Kuronen. I'm from the University of Jyväskylä, Jyväskylä, Finland. And today I'm gonna tell you about gendered school discipline in Finnish secondary schools between 1819 to 1910. So let me begin with the structure of this presentation. At first, I'm gonna tell you about Finland at the turn of the centuries. And in this presentation, my hypothesis is that the school discipline in Finnish secondary schools was gendered at three particular ways at the turn of the centuries. And this presentation is constructed around these three levels. So my first actual point will be the gendered school legislation. As you can see here, there were two legal punishments in girls' schools, whereas in boys' and co-educational schools, legislation enabled 9 different forms of punishment, so there really was difference there. And my second point will be the punishments and the fact that schools treated the allegedly misbehaved boys and girls differently. So, for example, in the co-educational school of Kuopio, a total of 1,954 punishments were given during the research period, but only 173 of these for the female pupils. And my final fourth point is the offenses and the fact that gender also defined the behavior of the pupils. So, for example, male pupils were punished for a behavior that can be understood as more loud or more visible than the behavior of or the offenses of the females. But now I will briefly tell you about the context of Finland. So, here you can see the map of Europe in the late 1800s. Finland had been a part of Kingdom of Sweden for centuries, almost 600 years to be precise. But in 1809 it became a Grand Duchy of Russian Empire. However, because of the long history within the Swedish realm, Lutheran Sweden and Germany defined Finland rather than Orthodox Russia or Catholic Europe. For example, Finnish legislation based on Swedish legal tradition and the state church was the Evangelical Lutheran Church. What makes Finland especially interesting is that during the latter part of the 19th century, the education system of the country was constructed. For example, a statute to establish elementary schools was given in 1866. Also, secondary education was regenerated during that time. Secondary schools secondary schools were traditionally schools for higher orders boys aiming to the careers of public servants or ministers. But during the late 19th century, secondary education amongst lower orders as well as women started to become more common. This was because of the nationalization and also the fact that Finland had started to industrialize relatively late during that time. The increased interest towards secondary education led also to the establishment of new schools and also new first co-educational schools were established in 1880s. But next I will tell you about the gendered legislation. Here you can see the legal punishments classified according to their severity. The School Order Act, enacted in 1872, defined the school discipline in Finnish secondary schools at the turn of the centuries, and it enabled, like as I already said, 9 different forms of punishment to be used in boys and co-educational schools and only 2 different forms of penalties to be used in girls' schools. And if you take a look at this list here, I think we can all agree that gender greatly defined the school legislation. Sorry, I need to check my notes. Especially male pupils was seen to be in need of particular control. There was no need to rule the body and mind of female pupils as strictly as the body and mind of male pupils. But I would also like you to pay attention to the fact that there is no corporal detention, no corporal punishment at any forms here in the list of the legal punishments in boys and girls educational schools. This is because during the 18th and 19th centuries, corporal punishment was abandoned widely in Europe, also in secondary schools in Finland. In the Foucauldian theory, this is explained by the rise of a surveillance and this disciplinary power. And the significance of surveillance was specially emphasized in education, as the earlier studies have noted. And in Finnish secondary schools, detention replaced corporal punishment, and both detention and carcer here. For those of you who are not familiar with carcer, it's basically a school jailhouse, basically a cell. And the both forms of punishments were based on surveillance. However, we should all be we should keep in mind that it was still okay to punish children corporally at homes, so it's more or less likely that the teachers still used corporal punishments at schools also. And, But next I will tell you about the punishments used in schools. Here you can see the punishments of the Go Educational School of Kuopio. I have examined the punishment records kept by the teachers of three different secondary schools: Go Educational School of Kuopio, Girls School of Tampere, and Boys School of Jyväskylä. I will use the Go Educational School of Kuopio as an example because it demonstrates the gendered school discipline the best. And what can we think about these numbers? 1,781 punishments given for the male pupils and only 173 given punishments for the female pupils. There really was a gender-based difference here. But gender also defined the quality of the punishment. The female pupils of the school were punished basically only with detention, whereas the male pupils were punished still with even with corporal punishment and also carcer, which was a more severe form of punishment. It might be so that the teachers of the Go Educational School of Kuopio still applied the legislation on girls' school when punishing the allegedly misbehaved female pupils of the school, and that's the reason why they didn't punish them more strict severe way. The main reason for this gender discipline, of course, can be found from the gender norms and the expectations. Male pupils were raised to become fathers and supporters of the families, public agents, whereas female pupils were raised to become mothers. So they didn't have that important role in the society. Their standings would never be as important as the standings of males. So there was really no need to rule the female pupils as strictly as the male. And next I will tell you about the about the offenses made in the schools. And here you can see the offenses made in the co-educational school of Kuopio. I have categorized the offenses on the grounds of norms which they broke against. Some categorized characteristic female categories and some characteristic male categories can be found. Male pupils were punished especially for liveliness and disobedience. Of course, the male pupils were dominated every category because they made plenty of more offenses during my research period. But these characteristic male offense categories can be understood as more loud and more visible. For example, liveliness mostly meant, for example, running around the school, moving during classes, chatting with mates, whereas the characteristic female offense categories were not as visible. Females were accused especially for carelessness or tardiness and dishonesty. And carelessness, for example, could have meant inability to answer to the questions of a teacher as loud and as sure as one should. So there was a difference in the quality of offenses. But the most interesting thing here is that, in fact, both male and female pupils were actually punished with behavior that was in accordance with gender norms. Male pupils were expected to be loud and visible, whereas female pupils were expected to be more silent and more even shy. So, in this sense, the pupils of the secondary schools were expected to act like pupils, not like males or females. I don't know, but in this sense, you might even say that a school discipline was, if not equalizing, it was something like it. And now I have only the conclusions left here. So, in a nutshell, what I tried to show you here, school discipline was gendered at several levels. Gender not only defined the school legislation and the punishments, how the pupils were treated in schools, but it also defined how the pupils were behaving, how it defined and determined their actions at schools. And, of course, this is mainly because of the gender norms. So, here you can see my references. Thank you, and if you have any questions or comments, I would really like to answer.